Well, kids, if you're ready, I'm pretty sure. Vanna White, are you coming up to move this or do I have to move it? You're Vanna White. Oh, good. Thank you. That's not Vanna White, but hey. Well, kids, you're dismissed. Remember, you got to get your temperature taken. You got to foam up. What's up, Freddie? I saw him playing on the system, too. He was our tester. Y'all have your Bibles this morning? Well, you got a phone, right? So you can just say yes, and that'll be good enough, right? Well, good to have all of you here this morning. I'm excited about presenting the Word today. We've been in John, and I decided in my heart and in prayer that we need to step away from John and go to Matthew, a story or an event that happened. It's not spoken of in John, but it is spoken of in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we are going to take the Matthew translation and look at it because I really believe that the withered hand speaks a lot to what is happening right now in our society. And most of you know when I said withered hand, what miracle or what healing I'm talking about. So if you would go to Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 through 14. And as you get there, I want you to think about something. Do you all know about the word purge? Now, some of you go to those terrible movies called Purge or something. I'm not talking about that. That's terrible. So anyway, let's hope our society doesn't get to that, even though it seems we're headed in that direction. But whenever I think of purge, being married, I think of it differently. And I want you to keep this in mind throughout the whole message, because I'm going to bring it back to you at the end. But when my wife says she's going to purge, I get exhausted. And so why I get exhausted is because every season, she takes all of our children's clothes, and I don't know if you get to see our kids because they're always in the nursery, but they always look pristine, but nothing they wear is new. And so everything is bought online. Most of why she's on Facebook is to do this. And when she says she's going to purge, it means that I'm going to have to take a trip with about 60 bags to the post office because she's going to sell off all of, so we've already sold off the winter clothes, and I get a little emotional because I remember them in those outfits, and I'm like, honey, aren't you going to save some? And she's like, honey, we got too many kids and too much stuff. I'm selling it all. And eventually I go in there and pull something that means something to me and put it somewhere so she can't find it. And then she finds it and sells it anyway. And so, because there's nowhere in our house that she doesn't know about. Anyway, when she says she's going to purge, I get exhausted because that means for about a day or a weekend, she's going to be online selling all these clothes, packing them, organizing them, sending slips to people through email. I mean, it's an exhausting process for me to watch her do it because I'm watching the children while she's doing the... And anyway, then she packs it up in a million packages at home. She even has a little printer that prints out the USPS tag, anyway, and puts it on there, and it's a little cheaper because she goes through Shipo, and 3 days later, we're done the winter purge, when we're getting to the spring one, aren't we? Or was that spring? What was the big one you just did? Oh, gosh. Anyway, so that spring's still coming. We just did winter. I guess we waited till a little bit later on because of the COVID-19. But anyway, and then you go in the closet, and there's nothing there. Then a couple days later, things start to arrive at our house. And so I wonder why we do the purge, because in a couple of days, spring starts to show up, or the next season, or she'll show me something and say, this is for 2021 when they're this big. And so anyway, somehow she organizes it all so that they always have nice clothes, but they're always used. And I love the purge because when all that stuff is out, she usually cleans out the closets and everything looks good for a couple of weeks until it all starts to arrive for the next season. But don't you feel good when you decide to purge something? Now, you don't like it, so you don't want to get too excited, because if your husband says, I'm going to go take care of the garage, or I'm going to go purge it, or I'm going to go clean it, you know it's going to be a process, right? Or your wife says, it's time for spring cleaning, we're going to get to all the closets, and we're going to purge everything we don't need, or it's time for flea markets. Are we still going to do yard sales? Like resale? I hope so. Okay. Anyway, you get to a yard sale and you get all that stuff out of your house. How does it feel after that? It feels good, right? I remember growing up when we were done a yard sale, my dad and mom would say, none of that's coming back into the house. I don't know if you all have ever said that before, but we take it to Goodwill or take it to the church donation spot and we'd get rid of it because we didn't want to put it back in. Now, I want you to think about the scripture today. There's a lot of significance around this. First of all, it was done on the Sabbath, which was what? Unlawful. It was unlawful in the day, yet Jesus did it to show us that it was actually lawful. Because Jesus did what? He fulfilled the law. There's another part of this that's interesting, is that it isn't just a healing of, and it's the way that it's spoken of in the Word. They didn't say a broken hand or a hand that wasn't functioning. The way the Scripture speaks is the hand was withered. When something's withered, most of the time it needs to be what? Removed, purged, taken out. We look at the tears and it relates the same way. But here we're talking about something that over time, progressively withered away. There's a progression here that's important for us to see. And the reason that Jesus did this specific healing on the Sabbath, I'm not going to give you yet. All right, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Chapter 12, verse 9 through 14. Most of your titles will say, "A Man with a Withered Hand." He went on from there and entered their synagogue. Church, are you hearing this? There's something already that should stop you and say, wait a minute, whose synagogue is it? Who are they worshiping there? But here's how it's referred in the Scripture. He went on from there and entered their synagogue. Church, why was that said that way? Because church had become their thing, not the thing that Jesus stood for. Do you hear this here already? He's going into the place and saying, I'm going into their synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, who are they? It would be the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They were at this time where they really wanted to catch him up. And they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him? And here's what he said to them. And I think even in our practical humanness, I think to myself, you know, if somebody was hurt, I'd hope that on the Sabbath, I'd say, if somebody fell in the foyer, I hope that we would go up and pick them up, right? And so Jesus uses this simple, simple text. And he says this, which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold? Now hold up here. Why did he use sheep? Sheep were very important to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Why? Because what did they sacrifice? Sheep. So he didn't just use a random animal. Guys, this is Jesus speaking. Think about the words he's saying here. Now he's talking about not just sheep that they would relate to, because they're not farmers. They're not, but they understand sheep, because sheep are what was sacrificed. And so he got right to the heart of the person. Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Oh, how much more value is a man than a sheep. So, here's Jesus' declaration. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out, and it was restored. It was healthy like the other, but the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how they could destroy him. Jesus, this is tremendous. Gosh. We pray right now that you would anoint your word, that you would allow your spirit to fall on us, that we would see not only the physical evidence, but Lord, that we would see the spiritual evidence of what this means, what this calls us to as a church. God, help us. Help us, Lord, not to think on the enemy or the things of the world right now. Lord, let us help us right now to completely encounter you and your word and what it is that you have for us. We cast the enemy out in the name of Jesus, and we pray that your spirit would come and reign here, and that every word that is spoken would come from your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So let's talk about withered. Most of the time when I go out into the yard and something's withered, I take scissors and I cut it off. You get rid of it. If someone here were to have a withered hand, we'd probably say that it has gangrene and things like that, and it's at the place where you have to get rid of it. I had a lady back in our old church, and she kind of just went along with it. She had diabetes, but she was very healthy, skinny lady, ate all that she should. And she would just come to me on Sunday and say, I'm having another toe taken off because it's withered away. And I would say, do you need me to be there? And she'd say, no, it's just another toe. And I think she had, 6 removed while I was there? Six, yeah. And anyway, it just became something that she dealt with, and somehow she just walked into church the two Sundays after that and was back to normal. And so we deal with things differently, each of us, and each of us deal with things that are kind of withering away or decaying or getting destroyed differently. But here's some key facts about this particular event, this particular man. It was the right hand. Well, why is that significant? Well, in that day, the right hand was key. You had to have it to work. You had to have it to do things. It was a very important part of a man's work. And so without it, a lot of things weren't able to be done, especially if you were just naturally right-handed. It was hard for him to find other things. He couldn't sit at a desk and answer phones and do those types of things. They didn't have that. And so what we understand is that the source of his income had gone away. We also know that when you look at the translations and you understand what's happening, it wasn't always that way for him. It had been a process of passing away. We also know that it indicated that there was no longer blood flow to it. Church, you're saying, well, why is this so significant? Think about the Sabbath. Think about Jesus coming in and saying, here's what the Sabbath looks like. And then Jesus being the life-giving blood that we need to cover our sins. And here, what does he do? He restores the blood to the hand. We got to get to where Jesus is in this. And so we know that life had been taken from his hand, a significant part of the man's body at that time. So I think when we think about going beyond, you ever say to somebody, man, you've gone above and beyond? Yes. Many of you, as I look around nurses and stuff who have worked through this and gone into rooms with people that had COVID-19 and needed the love of Christ and needed someone to be there, we would say to you that you have gone above and beyond. You have. You've done things that some people wouldn't do. You've done things that we see as heroic. And so you've gone above and beyond. And here, Jesus was instructing this dude to go above and beyond what he was able to do for himself. Church, if he was able to fix it, don't you think he would have fixed it and gotten back to work? Yes. Here's the thing, though, why Jesus chose this. See, this was intentional on Jesus' part. He was actually wanting someone to have to go beyond themselves on a Sabbath. What I want you to know here, and this is what's so important, is that Jesus looked at something that was useless in the eyes of man. Have you ever felt useless? So what's the opposite of going above and beyond? I think it's feeling useless. In this time, I've had people say to me, well, I feel useless for the kingdom. And I say, yeah, you and a lot of other people, right? Because a lot of people felt that way. There wasn't anything they could do. They were in that risky, maybe age group, or maybe they had lung issues and they couldn't stand up and do something that they'd like to do, and so they felt useless. Now, is that a true statement? No. Just because we can't do doesn't mean we're useless. It doesn't mean we can't be used in a different way. But see, here, what had happened to this man is he had become useless. His hand had gotten into the place where he was considered useless. Now, I want you to think for a second. When a limb starts to wither away, what happens to it? You can just imagine in your mind what happens to it. There's a lot of things that happen to it. Sometimes the smell gets strong. Sometimes we recognize that pieces of it are falling off. The skin is no longer healthy. The state of this man's hand was probably not appealing to the eye. It was probably not appealing to other people to see or be around him. So now you have this increased sense of uselessness. So now you're beginning to see that not only does he have this issue that makes him feel useless because he can't work, but now you've got this issue of other people looking at him and saying, I don't want to be anywhere near that smell or that useless individual. And see, I think that's what the world is facing right now. People feel left behind. They feel like they're not. They feel like, and Jesus came in and said, stop. Jesus spoke life into something that goes beyond what we, without him, can speak life into. Let's look at this. You ever feel a little withered up? My skin was a little withered up, and so I'm really careful about, I don't know if you noticed, but I don't wear short sleeves often and stuff. My grandfather died of skin cancer, and so I'm always, because I look just like him, right? I mean, I wish I didn't, but you know, I do, and so it doesn't matter, but I had the same kind of skin, the same kind of body build, and like everything that I had, my hair literally fell out the same year his hair fell out, and so I wear his ring as just a reminder of all those things, but he was a great man. But I can say to you that I don't want to wither up. And this week as I jumped on the trampoline, it felt like I was like withered up and my skin was. But think about this for a second. Sometimes we feel that way in our spirit. And see, that's the enemy coming in and getting at us. See, Jesus was saying, now this is what I want you to hear here, and this is what I want you to understand. He was saying that the law was withered up. Church, this is what Jesus was saying here. This was his miracle on the Sabbath. And it was to take a man with a withered hand and say, you know what? It is lawful to do my work on the Sabbath. And then we know that he began to do work on the Sabbath because he established, answered that question, and he moved on. But church, what he's saying to us today is that it's really never unlawful to do the work of Jesus. He's never not about taking what was once useless and withered and dried up and restoring it. I believe that we have a people that surround us in this nation that need the lifeblood of Jesus Christ. There's a couple of things here that we have to remember. You'll say, well, Pastor, this is so simple. And I actually read a couple of messages on this by Spurgeon and also by Wesley and just really understanding what this means. And so I want you to know that this may seem simple to you, but I want you to know here that Jesus was saying that he was doing something that that man was incapable of doing. Many of you sitting here have convinced yourselves in your mind that you're incapable of getting past whatever it is. Many of you in here have convinced yourselves that God is only going to use you so much because of what you were or how you were or what you were involved in. And yet he's saying, no, I can take what has no blood and restore it. But the thing is that he reminded us that day that we're incapable of doing it without him. Church, we're incapable of being Jesus without him. We're incapable of being the church that God has called us to be without him. We also know that there was a barrier here, a barrier that only Jesus could break, and that was the one of the law. The law was getting in the way of the ministry of Jesus Christ. In fact, oftentimes the law throughout Scripture got in the way of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, he had a beautiful way of like confronting the people, right? And he just did it so beautifully, and he did it with Scripture, and he did it with facts, and he just does it so great. I do it like, all right, let's go for it, you know? But that's not how Jesus did it. He just did it so beautifully. And so here we see that he was also able to smooth over a barrier with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We say, not really, because they went to conspire. Why did they have to conspire? Why did they have to go into secret? Why did they meet at night? Why were they acting like that? Well, because they just couldn't argue with Jesus. So instead, they went behind the scenes and said, let's get rid of him. Let's get rid of this move that we can't compare to, because they were living off of a withered form of religion. Church, where and what are you living with and on? What is your lifeblood? Jesus is saying here, my lifeblood is life-giving. Church, these are questions because we're incapable to bring life without Jesus to something that needs life. In fact, I think about Lachelle right now. I believe that God can bring life to the areas of her body that don't have the life that it needs right now. And that's how I'm praying, and I know that's how many of you are praying. Because I believe Jesus brings life. I believe that his power comes in and does things that we cannot do. So let's talk about Jesus really quick. And we don't like to refer to him as giving commands, and yet we know a lot of that translation goes right down to Jesus commanding. He commands us to love one another. We like to say that love is a feeling and love is just this, and it is, yes, and we want to feel it, yes, and we want to experience it, yes, but Jesus said it's a command. Because if not love, what do you really have? And so here he actually commanded the man to stretch out his hand. And then all of a sudden, there's this encounter where a heart is turned, the hand is moved, the command is responded to, and then it turns into a prayer. We say, well, where was the prayer? Well, the prayer was through the response of the man. And see, Jesus gives us a promise that day about his work, about his ability, about his new law. All right, so let's go back to Purge. We're going to step back into Purge. We find the Lord commanding us to purge out the old leaven. I don't know if you did this as a church, but we did years ago, where you would pass along friendship bread. Y'all didn't do that? Oh, you did. Okay, good. All right, somebody out here had to do it. Pastor Cable, you didn't do the passing around the friendship bread and the. Anyway, we would always get that friendship bread because my mom was a good baker, and so they would expect her to kind of spread that around and write the letters, and I don't remember what it was all about, but I do remember that at some point she could tell when it was no longer good. And so people would ask her, well, is this good or not? And she'd be able to smell it, sniff it, and do some gross things and say, no, we need to start again. And that's just a gift that she had. It's kind of gross now that I think about it. And probably with COVID, we wouldn't pass bags of friendship bread around with cards, and we just probably wouldn't do that. But it's something that we did. And she would eventually realize and recognize when at church people were asking her, well, is this? And she'd say, no, yes, no, yes. And that's how God is. And see, here Jesus is saying there's something that isn't right that needs to be purged out of the church, and that is, why are we being quiet about the name of Jesus on the day that we honor Jesus? And he was saying, why wouldn't we show the power of Jesus on the day that we honor and celebrate him? Think about here, out of the scriptures, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. And if you remember what they used hyssop for, they would take it and dip it and rub it. And we also see it in the Old Testament with Moses. He said, take hyssop and put the blood on the... It was a cleansing. It was a purging. It was a purification process. And see, church, Jesus was saying here, I am the purification. I am that piece of hyssop that brings about the cleansing. But there's a process here, and we see two things happen. And here's what I want you to see here, because this is significant. You say, well, it's easy for a man to respond, stretch out your hand. Well, why wouldn't he? Well, why are you stretching it out? And why are you saying that, you know, it's a big deal that he stretched his hand out? Why would he respond to that command? Church, the Pharisees were testing Jesus. Do you ever get a little uncomfortable when you're in a conversation and someone tests another person and you know that's happening? Do you enjoy that conversation? When you're at work and your boss comes in and he tests somebody else and you're there like, I'm just going to let them have at it. I'm not going to get into this. I'm not going to be a part of that. I don't know if you experienced it at home, but there were times where my dad would come home and he was just testing us to say the slightest things wrong. And my mom would have already prepared us and said, he called from work. He's not in a good mood. Thankfully, we didn't have cell phones then because he wasn't able to be on the phone the whole way home. And I just knew then to keep my little young man mouth shut, right? Because my mom prepared me. Sometimes it wasn't that easy, but sometimes I did listen because I knew that he was testing me so that I would say the wrong thing so he could. And see, what's happening here is that this man is standing in the presence of people that have authority. And they were testing Jesus, who has been given all authority. And here it is, and he's the man in the middle. Have you ever thought about this as him being the man in the middle? He is the man in the middle. Jesus is setting forth a new, and they are trying to hold on to the, And Jesus is saying, why wouldn't we celebrate? Why wouldn't we help? Why wouldn't we help? Why wouldn't we move? And they're saying, I don't see where you're coming from. The law says, and then he says to this man in the middle of it all, hey, how about you stretch out your hand? Some of us, even as much as we would want healing, I don't know that we would want to step into the conflict. It's hard right now. Our world is in conflict. Church, I don't know how to say it, but to say it to you, we have to be doing something. We have to be speaking out. Every day, if you watch the news, more businesses are destroyed daily. More people are setting up stations in the street where the police can't even get in. Church, things are happening. I don't know if you're aware of it or not. I've tried to stop watching the news because all I can do is look at 46016. Because I can't take on the world, you can't either, but we can take on 46016. God's given us a mission a long time ago for 460 or 016. That's why sometimes I just can't watch the news and say, God, I can just walk the streets of where I am. But man, something's changing. There are now places where people are saying it's okay to have no law there, from this block to that block. I don't know where we go from there. But church, there's a problem, and that is we have to recognize that there is a heart issue. Jesus called it out then and said, we've got to get to a new place, a new heart. And church, we as a people have to start expressing our heart so other people can see it. Because somebody's got to see something that's better than just seeing something good. They've got to see something spirit-filled, something amazing, something that goes from having no life to having life. And see, church, we have to recognize that even in ourselves, there are things that he is saying, I want to bring life to that thought, to that experience, to that hurt. He was speaking a wide range in this very simple healing. We also have to know that the purging never ends. We do it every season. And every season it comes around, it feels like the last season just ended. And I say, honey, didn't you just do this? And she said, no, I did it in December. And it's like May. And I'm like, it felt like yesterday. Now, mind you, it's not that big of a deal because she does all of it except a little bit. But when you take, what did I take one time? 58 packages to the post office. And when you start walking up, can you imagine those poor post offices' face when I get there? And forget what they say. But anyway, one time he said, why don't you just go to the back? And so I went to the back. Or you went to the back. Was that you? I've gone to the back too. But think about this here. The purge never stops. Jesus is never stopping with us. The command gets to the root. And see, Jesus didn't flip-flop around. He went right to the issue in front of all the people watching and said, stretch out your hand that hasn't moved in a long time. You ever get that feeling when your hand is like you wake up and it's completely asleep and you don't even know it's there and it's very weird? You ever get that? I don't know if you're supposed to or not, but I get it a lot in this right hand. And it's like, I don't know what happened to it. And it takes a while to get back. All of a sudden, this that he hadn't felt in so long begins to be stretched out, begins to come to life. Jesus is not about sitting on the other side of the wall and talking about your barrier. He wants to get to the issue behind the barrier and say, let's get to the issue at hand. He didn't say, take your arm and stretch it out. He didn't say, lay out. He said, give me your hand. Stretch it out in front of me. What's the essence of this? What's the depth of this? What's the root? Where does the heart of the matter begin? Where's the source of the matter? What's no longer functioning that God wants to bring functioning to? Maybe it is a physical thing, or maybe it's a spiritual thing, or maybe it's an attitude thing, or maybe it's a, I don't know. I believe that God needs to work on us to know where it is. And then we have to recognize how it got withered to begin with. What was the essence of that process? Why did it go so long that none of the Pharisees or Sadducees who could have had the power, God wanted them to be the walking example of him, but they got so far from him that they were withered? Well, wait a minute. You didn't say that before. Yes. You know what he was also saying? He was saying that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had withered away from their purpose in the world. This healing was significant. And guess what? They knew exactly what he was saying. It's why they said we need to go conspire. And if you look at the way it's written, it meant they had to go in secret and conspire because he just called them out. Do you like to be called out? No. They didn't like to be called out. So they committed to go conspire because they knew exactly what was happening. They also knew that the man had faith and that somehow with Jesus' command coupled with faith mixed together, it was powerful. Church, when he commands you and you respond in faith, it is powerful. So in closing, there's a statement here. You can read it or you can go home and read it and look at your link that you've been given. Jesus didn't want greatness from the man. This is what's so crazy. I think we think that there was something great in the man. He was withered up. In society's view, in his own view, he was useless. And then all of a sudden, Jesus came in and he said, I'm going to make you useful again. And church, what happens here is that he didn't ask for greatness in the man. He just said, I'm asking for you to listen and to respond in faith. And you know what? He's still doing the same thing. Church, he doesn't need us to be great because he's great. He just wants us to listen, obey, and our faith. And then he'll display. So we have a choice. There's Pharisees, and I don't know who they are today, but they're everywhere. It's everywhere. The enemy is just actively at work. But there's an audience that's watching us, and there's a Jesus who is with us. And that audience wants to see what Jesus does, what it means, what it looks like. And church, each of us have a choice. Each of us have a choice to respond to his voice. So we go back to this heart purge. You all can start playing. We go back to this heart purge. And I don't know. I mean, I think that we all feel good when we get to purge things. Even though I don't like it, when I'm done with the garage, it feels good. Now I know in my head it's going to get dirty again and the kids are going to leave stuff. And I know that's going to happen. But in the moment, it feels good. And I organize it a little more so that next time it's not quite as bad and it just gets better and better. And that's what Jesus wants to do to us. And so he went on the Sabbath with a mission. That was not a random man. It was not a random situation. Jesus went looking so that he could show his power, his newness, and so that he could show that that which had been withered away could be restored. I bet you, and I even think that Abby's scripture this morning, when it talked about this fresh new skin, I really believe, and this is my own translation, so I'll just give you my thought, that that hand, when it was stretched out and working, was better than ever. And so I believe as you respond and as you let that withered part in your heart, or maybe it's physical, or maybe it's for somebody else, you're so connected to Christ, and as I look out here, that's evident in most of you. But your prayers are with other people. And you look at them and you just know when you talk to them, the Spirit just doesn't connect. And your prayer is for whatever is withered away in them to grow in grace and mercy. And so I don't know what your prayer is today, how it fits in those three things, but Jesus is in the business of bringing life to that which is lifeless. And here he came on the Sabbath against all those that were conspiring against him and said, I bring life. And so today he wants to bring life. I know we're a little nervous to come to the altars, and you can go to one end, you can spritz your hand, whatever it may be, but Maybe you just need to come today and say, hey, this area of my life, I need life there, Jesus. I need what was withered to come and, or maybe you need to come today and say, you know what, my son, my daughter, my grandkid, my neighbor's friend, I don't know. And just say, could you bring life to that? If I would respond and move like the man stretched his hand out in the face of all those people, maybe today's a day that you need to move and just say, I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to couple with your power today. The altars are open.